This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corwin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corwin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I'm your host, Corey Fleck, and I appreciate all of you for joining us today and every day on our website and podcast, kereport.com or Corlin Economics Report, for everybody searching for the podcast. I will be chatting a fair bit in the first two segments of this first hour about U.S. equity markets and just that overall news story that dominated this week, and that was Powell in front of Congress, and then switching a little bit into the resource sector, as I always do. I am kicking off this show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. And Jesse, one trend, or I guess one comment that keeps on popping up in a lot of my discussions that I think is much more important to pay attention to rather than this day-to-day, week-to-week back and forth regarding Fed policy and trade talks is the overall trend and momentum. I think you can combine both of these into an assessment of any sector and any market. I want to get your first comment, though. How do you view overall trends, longer-term trends, and overall momentum when you're analyzing different sectors?
Well, it's a good question because, you know, understanding the direction of the trend is really important. And actually, it reminds me of a quote from Paul Tudor Jones, I think it came shortly after the financial crisis, where he said a lot of people who are solely looking at fundamentals and values get run over by markets because they fail to pay attention to trend. And for Paul Tudor Jones, the way he looks at it is just a simple 200-day moving average. Is price above the 200-day, it's an uptrend. Is price below the 200-day, it's a downtrend. But I think, you know, a friend of mine, Michael Oliver, who I just had on my podcast, takes it a step further and he does some really fascinating work in terms of momentum. And so when you look at price relative to a moving average across different time frames, you can begin to see how strong is that trend. When price is way above the moving average, that's a pretty strong momentum and suggesting that the trend is very healthy. As trends continue on, you typically see that type of momentum begin to wane, and really that's exactly what we're seeing in the stock market right now, where if you look at the S&P 500 versus its 36-month moving average, this is an indicator that Michael Oliver uses, you can see that since essentially 2015, we've been making lower highs in momentum. Even that January 2018 high was a slightly lower high than 2015. The high we had in momentum, or the price high that we had last summer, which is a significantly lower high in momentum. And then these new highs we've made, this week as we've tested the 3,000 level, are again significantly lower too. And you know, according to Michael, what we've seen is this huge structure and momentum build from 2011 to today. And according to his research, is one of the biggest structures he's ever seen in market history. He's gone back and looked at 100 years worth of data. The only thing that comes close in terms of these structures that move from like 82 to 87 before the 87 crash and the move in the 1920s, where you had very strong momentum for a long period of time. But the thing with this is once you break this this momentum structure to the downside, it can usher in some pretty significant market corrections or a pretty significant bear market.
So something to note, though, is that we haven't broken this momentum to the downside yet, right? Momentum has just been waning. And in all fairness, you look at some of the charts, right, and you just see just how easily those markets moved up. But then in the last two and a half years, it's been a lot more choppy at the top.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, people are saying, well, the markets continue to do well. We've gone nowhere for 18 months. And this is what a market top looks like. Tops are a process. Bottoms are a point in time. You look at the 2009 bottom, and it was a point, and it was a V, massive V bottom. You look at any stock market top going back to that 2006, 7, 8 period to the, from the 1999 through late 2000, early 2001. It usually takes a couple years, 2-3 years, for patterns to kind of create a rolling top in the markets. And I think, you know, along with what's going on in momentum, Stan Druckenmiller recently came out and said one of the best economic, the best economic predictor he's ever seen is the inside of the stock market. He said it's not the stock market, it's the inside of the stock market. And what he means specifically by that is let's look at these certain sectors that are really economically sensitive. So retail, transportation, metals and mining, small caps, these types of things. When the relative performance of these sectors becomes, you know, pretty negative relative to the broad market, that's a sign that the economy is potentially rolling over into recession. And when you look at small cap performance versus the S&P 500, we're hitting new multi-year lows. In fact, the lowest level since the 2009 bottom with small cap relative performance. Same thing with transports and retail and metals and mining. So these economically sensitive sectors are also suggesting that breadth in the stock market is not as good as it should be. So you have momentum and breadth both pointing to very, very late cycle, in addition to a lot of the economic indicators that we're seeing too.
Yeah, but let's talk about some of these other sectors that are starting to get a buy, but also some of the correlated sectors that are lagging. You and I have talked a lot about gold, and I know you are bullish on gold. You've outlined a number of times some of the large gold companies that you like, but we are still seeing, let's say, silver drag, lag gold for, well, this whole move up in gold. And we're also seeing base metals continue to struggle in a broad sense, but I think that can also be attributed to just global economic concerns. What do you think about some of these other lagging commodity and resource sectors?
Well, I think, you know, gold is usually just, you know, I don't know about usually, but right now it appears to me that it is the first to sniff out what's going on a macro scale. We have Donald Trump and Elizabeth Warren talking about ways to devalue the dollar. We have Congress, or we have, you know, political candidates talking about forgiving student loans. We have Donald Trump wants to do a $2 trillion infrastructure package when we already have a fiscal deficit that's running 5% of GDP. So gold is starting to, and the other side of this, and I know you already covered Jay Powell, but you have a Fed that is looking at all of this dovish, you know, fiscal talk and, you know, proposing MMT and all this stuff going on. And they're talking about we need to find ways to, I mean, they're desperate to find ways to create inflation. And so gold, I mean, this is the absolute ideal setup for gold, is you have, you know, fiscal profligacy matched with a Fed that's willing to come in and essentially enable the federal government to print and spend. And so gold is just sniffing this out. And I think the reason what I read the underperformance of silver and these other things to be is just this still people are clinging to their financial assets, and there's still so much hate towards the precious metals. It's interesting to me that it reminds me of, you know, like 2011, 12 in the stock market when we had a new bull market that was only a couple years old. I think we're about, you know, 3-4 years into this. Probably 3 years, 3.5 years into this gold bull market, precious metals bull market. But back then in the stock market, nobody wanted to embrace buying stocks. It was just people were still shell-shocked from the bear market, and people were still shell-shocked from this precious metals bear market. And that is such a bullish sign to me that, you know, gold can break out higher and people are still skeptical.
All right. Hey, definitely great having you on the show, Jesse, and some of these trends that you and I have been talking about or potentials for the precious metals are finally starting to come to fruition ever since you and I chatted about a month ago. So hopefully this trend does continue, but always interesting and always important to pay attention to trends, but then also balance that out with overall momentum and breadth. Jesse, great chatting with you. Everyone, go check out the Felder Report or just email me if you want more information on what Jesse is writing. Thanks for your time this weekend, Jesse.
Thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Your weekly
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am joined by Mark Chandler in this episode. He is the managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I visit every day. Mark, let's recap, as we usually do when we chat on Friday. What has happened this week in terms of data and in terms of news? This week was a heavy week focused on the Fed again, I guess I can say. But it was because Powell was testifying in front of Congress. And I think more so, Powell just guaranteed, although he didn't guarantee actually anything, but he made it a certainty that we will be seeing lower rates in July. And it seems like that'll be just a 25 basis point cut. What was your takeaway from what Powell had to say in front of Congress this week?
Yeah, I think that Powell, like, validated market expectations. Market expectations that Fed would cut in July, and that that probably would not be it. That is to say that the arguments that Powell gave, given what the market was already pricing in, suggest that there's not going to be just one cut this year, but probably two. Rather than a 150 basis point cut move, like some people had expected. I think that better off thinking about it as a 25 basis point cut in July, and maybe another one late in, say, Q4 sometime, probably December, might be before. But I think that the main takeaway was the Fed funds futures contract that measures where Fed funds will be at the end of the year. That yield, that implied yield, fell 5 or 6 basis points. So the market's view was confirmed, and they sort of felt more confident about it. At the same time, the dollar fell against all the major currencies.
Now, that's an interesting nuance of how the dollar reacted. But before we get into the dollar, I want to talk about what the Fed has been touching on, and Powell in particular, as to why they are going to be cutting rates. And that deals with the lack of inflation. However, you look at the data this week, and we had CPI, PPI, all higher than expected, and all either at or above that 2% level. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect here where it doesn't actually seem like the data matters. The Fed is going to cut no matter what. You want to address this?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think this is the problem I think that a lot of investors have, is that on one hand, the Fed basically tells us they're data dependent. On the other hand, we look at the data, and that even though Q2 GDP looks like it slowed, we're still looking at something above trend throughout the first half of the year. We've got very low unemployment. We've got price pressures, which, like you mentioned, the core rate of CPI is above 2%. The core rate of PPI, producer price, is above 2%. We got the weekly initial jobless claims, 209,000. We're talking about, this is like near cyclical lows. What's the urgency of cutting rates? I think it has to do with one word that the Fed, the FOMC minutes, they were also out this week, repeated over and over again. And it's the word uncertainty. And the uncertainty is coming from trade, which is the U.S. is partly the U.S.'s own doing. But it's coming from things from the slowdown in China or maybe Brexit. That there's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. And that's the word that the Fed sort of latched onto it. So I would say that the rate cut is meant to try to help offset that uncertainty. And I don't think things work that way. But maybe that's why I'm not the Federal Reserve chief. The idea that somehow we can cut interest rates and that can help release the uncertainty around the U.S. debt ceiling or the spending limit, or it says anything about the Chinese economy, or it does anything for the trade tension, just escapes me. So I think that one of the camps, like some of the regional Fed presidents, say they don't really see a compelling need to cut rates now, but we want to be on alert. There are some signs of slowing down global economy, headwinds towards the U.S., especially from trade. And so there always comes some concern, but I'm not sure if it warrants a rate cut. But like what I tell my clients is it's not so important what one thinks ought to be the case. How we make money as investors is seeing what will be the case. What's the probability? And the probability is strong that the Fed cuts rates 25 basis points at the end of this month, not 50 basis points like, say, Kashkari, the Minneapolis Fed argued, 25 basis points. So I think that we'd be we'd be more foolish, I think, to bet against that that view now than betting for it as far as what's going to happen. It's practically all priced in now. And there still is, even at this late date, about a 1 in 6 or 1 in 7 chance of a 50 basis point cut that's being priced in.
Okay. Now, let's also talk about what the moves were in the U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar moved down as we're talking about this. It's right at around, well, yeah, just dropped below, actually, 97 on the dollar index. So a bit of weakness on the back of, I guess, these rate cut expectations. But again, the rate cut's more or less priced in. What do you think about the moves in the dollar and where it could go from here?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, you've got the Federal Reserve meeting late in the month. Last day of the month, we got the ECB on the 25th. And so when you look at the economic data next week, I don't think there's much to really hang our hats on. So my best guess is that we're probably going to be in a range. So like on a dollar index, you're saying we're just dipping below 97. I'm looking at support maybe down to 96.50, but generally I'm looking at a range. I would imagine most of the euros range 112 to 113 and slightly wider maybe I mean, the broad range that we were in for the entire second quarter with one or two exceptions is 111 to 114, and we're like around the middle of that range now. Dollar yen, you know, we're breaking, you know, it's interesting what happened. It's 109 on dollar yen is a really key level. If we get above 109, it looked like we could go to 111. Powell helped cap it there. We were testing that. I think we got to Bloomberg, I think, showed 108.99. So that was like a Tuesday before, and Wednesday maybe before Powell spoke. And now we're dipping below 108. I have support 107.50, 107.85 kind of area. I think that it's kind of interesting just that the Trump last week talked about how other countries were manipulating their currencies and should the U.S. be dummies by just burying it or should we fight back? And I think that spooked some people, especially analysts and economists. But in some ways, Powell helped cap the dollar against the yen, and helps put a floor in underneath the euro. I think the Canadian dollar right now is very interesting because the U.S. dollar made new lows for the year against the Canadian dollar this week on this divergence really between the Bank of Canada on hold and the Federal Reserve that's signaling easing. But I'm looking at these technical indicators that suggest that, you know, that they're not confirming this new dollar low. And so I wonder if that means that we should be looking for some consolidation in the Canadian dollar. So maybe the range is the upside is maybe something like we go back up to maybe 130.60, 130.80 before we can get a good break of 130. I do think Canadian dollar is going to be stronger. So what I'm trying to help our clients do is really take advantage of basically selling into U.S. dollar strength against the Canadian dollar.
All right, a lot to unpack there, Mark, but overall, we do have central banks that are still in the easy mode, but it just seems like all the eyes right now are on the Fed and just how much they're going to cut and what the trend is going to be when it comes to cutting. Mark, great having you on the show. Thanks for all your comments and wrapping up the, again, just central bank-dominated week that we experienced again. Everybody go check out Mark's website, Mark2Market. And if you want Mark and I to touch on any in particular topics, please feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com. Mark, have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you. Good luck to everybody.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Tropical Storm Barry is closing in on New Orleans. Residents sandbagged their doors and tourists trying to leave jammed the airport on Friday. Louisiana Plaquemine Parish President Kirk Lapine.
The sheriff and I have been vigilant about trying to make people understand the severity. Some people get complacent sometimes, not looking at the strength of the storm, but anything can happen, and that's why we want to be proactive.
The storm is expected to hit land near Morgan City. Meteorologist Allison Chinchar says it's bigger than just Louisiana.
Other states are going to be impacted. Mississippi, Arkansas, and Tennessee all have portions of them, or in Mississippi's case, the entire state of Mississippi, is under a flood watch. We're talking over 10 million people dealing with that threat.
This is USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to give expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we are going to switch our focus a little bit more to the precious metals because I am chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Jordan, what I want to do here is outline a new, or I guess better, called updated book entitled The Coming New Bull Market in Gold. Subtitle is Why Precious Metal Investments Will Flourish in the 2020s and 2030s. So therefore, I think you can garner out of the title that this is more of a long-term outlook on the precious metals, and something that you and I talk about on a weekly basis is more the short-term technicals and where the market stands. But can you provide just a general explanation why you decided to update your book now and what the importance is of looking at this longer-term time frame?
Okay, Corey. Well, the reason why I decided to update the book now is because my outlook for the future, and, you know, we have to be careful about saying this because, as we know, predicting the future is very hard and none of us have a crystal ball. But I think just the kind of macro market and macroeconomic situation is a little bit more clear now than it was 4 years ago when I wrote the first edition. And at that point, gold stocks were just incredibly cheap. I mean, they were basically the cheapest they had ever been, middle to late 2015. And, you know, of course, silver and gold were also historically cheap. And my thinking then was that you know, we're going to see this final bull market in gold and this big blow off in the next 5 years. And you know, the stock market is going to have a little downturn, and then its secular bear market will be over. And then, you know, in the earlier mid-2020s, you know, gold will be back in a bear, stock market in a bull. But, you know, that, of course, has proven incorrect. I think now, looking at things, the stock market's in a secular bull market. You can't argue that. It broke out technically 6 years ago, and it's continued to rise. So we can't argue that. Precious metals did have a rally in 2016, but as we know, that faded, and they've kind of gone, you know, in the case of gold, sideways. Gold stocks and silver went lower, of course, until recently. So, you know, it was difficult to say, you know, we couldn't keep saying that, you know, the 2011 to 2015 or 2011 to 2018 was, you know, a correction in a bull market. Like, corrections don't last 8 years. That they don't last that long. So basically the macro market situation, I think, was at least to me, it appeared much different several months ago when I was writing this than in 2015. And so basically when I was looking at things, everything was pointing to a strong comparison to the early to mid 1960s. Whether it's you look at the stock market in a secular bull already broken out, but long-term valuations are really extreme. What the future return expectations are for the stock market, you know, 2 or 3% a year. How does that factor in? And then also looking at another thing, Corey, is looking at the gold stocks. I think the gold stocks made a low in 1957 and also in the early 60s. And I think the 1957 low is very similar to the low we had in January 2016. And so historically, looking at how cheap the gold stocks were, I mean, everything to me was pointing to late 1950s or early 1960s. So there were all these factors kind of pointing to that time period. You know, in addition, how commodities performed, at least in the last 5 or 10 years, and what the outlook, was for commodities over the next 10 or 20 years, statistical inflation. When I'm talking about statistical inflation, it's really commodity prices when we're looking at the CPI. That's really what it is. We can't confuse it with the cost of living, which we know is inflation is not the cost of living when you're analyzing it in an academic sense. This is not a real world sense. All these factors kind of pointed to a comparison to the early or mid 1960s. So, and that was much different from what I thought 4 or 5 years ago when I wrote the first edition.
All right, Jordan, one thing that I want you to address, too, is, as you said, you think that this will be more like a scenario in the 60s or 70s. But one thing that a lot of commentators are saying is that this might be like another 2008, where we have this so-called everything bubble, and the bubble collapses, and that's what further pushes people into gold. Why don't you think this is on the table right now?
Well, I think because in 2008, you had a real issue with the banking system and the housing market, and we don't have that now. When you look at bubbles, they can be a productive asset or not. They can be financed by the capital markets or the banking system. And so, like, if you look at the tech bubble, that was in a productive asset, and it was financed by the capital markets, whereas housing was completely the opposite. And right now, at least in America, the banks are in a much stronger position. You know, they've been recapitalized. So you just, you know, the next downturn, you just don't get a repeat of the next downturn, the next recession. It's always different than the last one. Now, I mean, as far as an everything bubble, Corey, is everything really in a bubble? I mean, yeah, some parts of, you know, the bond market certainly look like they're in a bubble. I mean, the stock market's valuations historically are extreme, but they're not in like 1999 or 1929 territory. I don't think that we're in an everything bubble. However, if we do get some kind of a blow off in the stock market and gold also goes up at the same time, you know, it's possible we could have a little repeat of 1987. You know, that kind of situation, I think, is definitely possible. But I'm just looking at the very big picture. I don't see, I mean, if you go back to 2000, the stock market was rising for 20 years. I mean, it's only been rising for 10 years now. So, I mean, to me, I think 87 would be a better comparison, where everything in the mid-80s, everything was going up together. So that's a comparison I would look at. But I just, the bubble term, I mean, not to get too far off track, but I don't like using it because it just simplifies things too much, in my opinion. But I don't foresee another 2008.
Okay, hey, that's fair. And anybody who wants to read the book can dive a little bit more into that sector or chapter. Can we also talk about how you think or how you recommend people playing this long term, which it sounds like, bull market for gold, and more importantly, the companies? What details can you share with us that you write about in your book here?
Well, I do have a chapter on how to pick a junior mining company. So there's a lot of great criteria in there. And look, all of the mistakes that I've made are when I've deviated from following my criteria. I can tell you that. So hopefully that'll help people pick their own stocks. But I think, you know, it's simple, Corey. I think for the average person who doesn't want to speculate in juniors, they should probably just accumulate a little bit of gold and silver every month, just dollar cost average into it. Even if it's only $50 a month or $100 a month, that, I mean, if you have a lot of time to do that, given my outlook. So I think that's prudent if you don't want to be a speculator. If you don't want to be a speculator, or if you do want to be a speculator, there's, information in the book on what you should look for in a junior mining company. There's going, you know, if I'm right about the trajectory, there's going to be lots of opportunities. But at the same time, we're going to have some bear markets. I mean, if I'm right about a 15 to 20 year cycle coming, especially in gold stocks, as you know, if it repeats similarly to what we had in the 60s and 70s, there were multiple downturns in there. So you can't buy and hold junior mining stocks, at least for that long. You know, this outlook, Corey, it doesn't really change the strategy that I have and that, you know, we talk about in the regular weekly interviews. It's more just like this is kind of a bird's eye view for, you know, where we are and where I think things are going in the next decade in the 2030s.
Okay. Hey, good comments there, Jordan. I did appreciate reading over your book when you sent it out early. If anybody wants more information on Jordan's book, email me, fleck@kereport.com, and we will set something up. I'll put you in touch with Jordan. Jordan, thanks for your time this weekend. Everyone stick around. I'm going to be right back, continuing on with a couple more comments on the resource sector.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. I am going to continue on with some comments on the resource sector, especially focused on the precious metals, with our good friend Jeff Christian, managing partner over at the CPM Group. Jeff, you and I were chatting off mic, and there are some very interesting nuances within the resource sector that I want you to share with us. This deals in terms of the demand in for metals investments on the COMEX and ETFs versus purchases of coins. Can you please share some of the updated info that you have?
Sure. You know, we've seen a really good, strong upward move in gold prices, $100 really, in 2 or 3 weeks. But if you look at it, what we saw was a massive surge in volumes on the COMEX gold futures and options markets in the London OTC forward market and on the gold ETFs. And what we also saw was very few new gold and silver coins being sold by mints. And the coin dealers that we talked to, the wholesalers and retailers that we service, tell us that what they saw was that as the price rose, a lot of coin investors were selling their coins into the rising market as opposed to buying new coins. So what we saw were longer-term investors who tend to buy coins, you know, kind of giving up the ghost, saying, oh, the price is up $100, I'm out of here. But you had a lot of shorter-term investors, institutional investors and also individual investors who follow the market on a shorter-term basis, and they jump into the ETFs and the futures and the forwards. That's what we saw, and it ties in with what we've seen over the last several months, I guess, in terms of the shift in the nature or composition of who's investing in these metals.
So what does that mean then, looking ahead here, Jeff, if we have some of the shorter-term investors in the market? That is encouraging, but they're not exactly the strong hands. Plus, we've also seen generally people selling in terms of coins. So who's left to drive this market even further?
That's the problem. I mean, you know, the short-term investors in futures and ETFs and forwards are opportunistic. And when they see the price looking top-heavy, they'll sell again. So, and we've seen that over the last few years. Not only have we seen an increase in the number of trades by these kinds of investors, but we've also seen a greater willingness to be short the futures and options on the part of these investors. So what it tells you is that you're a little bit worried about the sustainability of the price increase, because it was driven by people who are in and out of the market long and then short, and it could reverse. And meanwhile, you haven't seen the follow through in the forward or in the physical market. You know, the U.S. Mint as of yesterday had not sold any 1 ounce gold coin Eagles in July. You know, just nothing. And their silver, Eagle sales in the first 9 days of July were off about 85% from the June level, total June level. So you're not seeing the kind of follow through in the physical market that you would hope to see if this is a sustainable rally.
And that follow through in the physical market, is that something that helps to propel the price even higher when we do have this breakout from 5-6 year highs? Do we need that those coin sales to drive us even higher and keep that momentum going up?
Yeah, you need the coin sales and other physical purchases, which, you know, don't have data readily available. I mean, what these guys do is they not only provide a stable base, but they also provide a higher base. So, you know, right now you're looking at a base around 1385, 1390, which has held up for the last couple of weeks. At some point, the price will come off, and well, it's already tested that, those levels, I think, four or five of the last 15 trading days. And at some point, they're going to break below that. If you had the physical purchases, you'd probably have greater resilience. Without those physical buyers in the market, you know, we break below 1380, the next stop is 1360, the next stop is 1325. You know, this thing can go down a lot faster, and you don't have this being a new higher base from which we're moving forward. You have this as a short-term aberration.
Okay, but you know what, it's nothing to say that there couldn't be some more demand coming into the physical side, and it is encouraging that gold has held that support level, as you mentioned, a number of trading days just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. However, we do need that one more push higher. Can we also get your quick comment on that discrepancy we're continuing to see in terms of gold and silver, that gold-silver ratio over 90, which is getting to almost historic levels?
Yeah, you know, it got up to 100-1 in the early 1990s, and that was a similar situation where you had some investment demand for gold around the world, but in, silver was sort of not well received by investors at the time. I think the silver price actually got down to about $3.50 a couple times in the early 1990s. And you're seeing the same kind of dynamics, in the silver market and silver relative to gold that we saw in the early 1990s. So, you know, our view is that that ratio stays high and that silver stays weak relative to gold for a couple more years, possibly even.
So, Jeff, what are your thoughts on what is driving this? We talk a lot about trade. We talk a lot about the Fed. We talk a lot about economic data. But what is driving these short-term traders into gold and, again, avoiding silver?
I think what we saw over the last 3 or 4 weeks has primarily been related to the Fed's and the Fed's commentaries and expectations that the Fed is going to, you know, keep rates flat and probably lower them sooner rather than later. And I think that that's really what's going on. If you go back to late June, the second half of June when the price rose, you saw that not only was the Fed making comments about being more accommodative and being worried about the risks to the economic growth from the trade war and other factors, but you also had the bombing of those two tankers in the Gulf of Oman, and the U.S. accusing Iran and threatening to attack Iranian assets and stuff like that. And it was very interesting because what you saw was the oil price really didn't move during that period. And the Japanese and then the EU came out and said to the U.S. they wanted to see more evidence that it was Iran, because the U.S. government didn't really provide any evidence, and there was that false flag event back in, like, 2007 in the Straits of Hormuz. So, but you didn't see that oil crisis, if that's what it was, driving oil prices higher, and you didn't really see investors in gold and silver buying into that crisis. What you really saw were investors focusing on Fed policy and the prospects of lower interest rates. And that was really what was driving the gold price and the stock market higher at that time.
Fair enough. That continues to be a major player in what the markets are doing, not just for gold and silver. And you know what? I think that's very interesting, because if we do have lower interest rates, that is a good sign for gold, because of that argument that gold doesn't pay a yield. Can we also get a comment, too, on how the stocks are reacting? Majors are moving higher, number of majors at 52-week highs, but still a number of junior stocks seem very much stuck in the mud. It continues to be a very selective market for the juniors. What do you think about that environment?
I think the mining industry the gold mining industry is continuing to suffer from a variety of issues that are, you know, not necessarily helping convince investors that they should be buying into these companies. I think the majors have moved more strongly on the upside because they're in the various indices, and you have any number of index funds now who will trade the gold stock index. And if you're a large enough company to be in one of those indices, you're going to have people buying your stock even though they might not be fundamentally looking at your company and saying, hey, this is an attractive company. So I think that the strength that we've seen in the majors is more a function of the fact that they're in these stock indices where there's a lot of, you know, computer-generated buy orders that have come into the market. And the juniors are not in those indices, so they suffer.
All right. Hey, Jeff, great chatting with you. I always enjoy kind of your look at the markets and your insights on what is actually happening kind of behind the scenes for gold and all precious metals moves in general. It's great having you on the show. It's great having all of our guests on the show. And it's great having all of you, our listeners, tune in on the weekend show and on a daily basis. Please keep the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. And please, everyone, let me know what you think of the companies that I bring onto the site, because I really do value everybody who listens and who joins me on a regular basis, all of your opinions. Jeff, thanks again for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly, as you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product, and one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
I'm Rick Ossick, president of Famous Footwear. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Famous Footwear to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Famous Footwear's team today at marchforbabies.org.